If we get our Bibles and we'll turn to John chapter 15, and we'll be reading verses 1 through 11. John 15, verses 1 through 11. And if you don't have your sword with you, we have a screen that can assist you with following along with what we'll be reading and going over, and even the supportive scriptures that I'll be sharing with you this morning to convey this message that God has given in my spirit to share with you. Amen?
Amen.
Are you there?
Amen.
Starting at verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husband. Every branch in me that beareth no fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean, the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Let me read that piece right there again. For without me, you can do nothing. Can I read that again? For without me, you can do nothing. If a man abideth not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Here is my Father's glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. I want to give justice to this text. I want to break it down real, real good for you this morning. But people of God, I want to give you a clear understanding concerning us as the branches being made a part of the vine. According to Romans 11, turn to Romans 11, chapter 11. We're going to read verse 16 through 24. You have to understand that the children of Israel were the representatives of what God was initially planning to do in the land, to convey a message to the people that didn't know God. And so when you think about the Israelites, they were supposed to be on display of how God operates.
Yes,
I want you to understand that they were the chosen people to carry the mantle of God to all the other people that were in the land. I want you to get a clear understanding of that. So when you think about Romans 11, I want to do real, real good with this. Romans 11, starting at verse 16, it says, for if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy, and if the root be holy, so are the branches. It says, and if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and the fatness of the olive tree. It's going to be real good. Boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee.
Right.
It says, thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, somebody say, well. Because of unbelief, they were broken off, and thou standest by faith, be it not high-minded, but fear. You got to understand that these ones that were supposed to be carrying this mantle and supposed to be representing God, that a lot of times that they were going about their own ways, and they was always looking and picking at someone else, and they wasn't even living up to the standard or living by the word of God that they were supposed to be displaying. And so you had a lot of people that was going, like the Sadducees and the Pharisees, they knew the law backwards and forth. But when you turned around, they wasn't even living up to the law themselves. But that sounds hypocritical, right? Yeah. To know the way and not live by the way, right? Yeah. It says, for if God spared not the natural branches, we're still talking about Israel. It says, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God on them which fail severity, but toward thee goodness if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. It says then, and they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. Look at that forgiveness of God. I gave you something to do. I gave you how, I taught you how to represent through my law that's supposed to have my word on display and have my kingdom on display. And some kind of way you didn't believe what I said, or you wasn't living by what I said. He said, but I'm going to give you an opportunity that you may be put back in order. He says, for if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and what grafted contrary to the nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? There was a disconnect, you got to understand there, of the ones who should have been representing the vine, but because they didn't believe and was just going through the motions, he took some roots that were rotten, that were no good, that were godless, and gave them an opportunity to experience his love and saving grace. I'm talking about us. That our roots, I'm talking about way down deep in the inside. And some of us still got some rotten roots and some roots that needs to be dug out and some roots that needs to be cut off in order for us to get on track with God. He said, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to engraft you in to the roots that are good. See, we're talking about the vine this morning, Jay. He said, I'm going to take something that's rotten and root. See, because when you engraft something, you take one tree and then you take another tree and you make them come together and you connect them together. And he says, we were grafted into the vine. He said, so sometimes what happens is, people think that they're doing the right thing, but they're really not. Go to Luke chapter 8, verse 18. And sometimes they think that they're all right. And sometimes they think they got it all together because they come to church.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they participate in the activities in the church. Because they give. Because they know a few scriptures. You know, the Sadducees and the scribes and all that, see, they were supposed to record the word, and they knew the word backwards and forward. And sometimes you have people in the church, they know the Bible backwards and forward, but they're not living in by the Bible. And they think because they go to church, they the first one in the parking lot, they the last one to leave, they the first one to give, they the first one to fix the sandwiches. They the first ones to do all of these different things. But somehow or another, they're not living by what the word says. It says, take heed therefore how you hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. Sometimes we think we got it all together, people of God. But it's going to take some cutting off. It's going to take some purging. It's going to take some pruning in order for you to grow correctly. In order for you to have spiritual growth in the church that you may bear fruit. And sometimes all because you go into church, that's not no fruit. That's not fruit. So when you look at the fruit, you're talking about love. You're talking about joy. You're talking about long suffering. You're talking about kindness.
You talking about, see, that's the fruit I'm talking about. All because you're going to church, you just attending church and you being faithful going to church. But it seemed like you got it all together because you can lift up your hands and because you can shout out and you can say Jesus and you can have a bumper sticker on your car and you can have a headband around your head with Jesus saves and all these type of things like that. That doesn't mean that you're bearing fruit. See, because your fruit should be evident. It says, now since we have been made a part of the vine, he introduces the parts, conditions, and the outcome. First and foremost, we must abide. Abiding is the key factor of the outcome, and the conditions are the growth process to get to the outcome. So your fruit should be evident. Matthew 7. Y'all, I hope y'all write these scriptures down. We're going to break it down real good. Matthew 7. Verse 16 to 17. Because our roots were rotten. They weren't no good. Even when you think about the genes, we had to be regenerated. That's why we have to be reborn again. Because the way that I'm operating under my own belief system. And that's the reason why some people can't get close to God. Because they're operating under their old belief system. And the new belief system says, therefore, if any man be in Christ. Can I paraphrase? Yeah. Your old belief system has passed away. Uh-huh. Behold, you have a new belief system. Yeah. Yeah. Right? Yeah. But the Bible says in that particular verse, it says in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Yeah. So now I need a new belief system. Yeah. I need a new root system. And this is it right there. It says, you shall know them
By
their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. But we want to bring forth good fruit, right? So, if I were to name this message, I would call it Watch Our Suckers.
Watch Our Watch Out.
Yeah, that messed y'all up, didn't it? Yeah. See, because I'm going to have to expound on that to give y'all the reason why I call it that. What do suckers do? Suckers are little branches that show up on the vine that take away the nutrients designed for the fruit to expand to its fullest potential. See, I got to explain that. Because I'm like, ooh, wait, did y'all hear what Pastor said? We start thinking, you know, we be in the natural when we call it folks suckers and stuff like that. But a sucker is, they are little bitty branches that show up on the vine that take away the nutrients designed for the fruit to expand to its fullest potential. Suckers are designed to cause diversion. What is a diversion? An instance of turning something aside from its course. An activity that diverts the mind from tedious or serious concerns, a recreation or pastime. So, somebody ought to say, I'm going to give you an opportunity to have fun with this. Somebody ought to say in the Esther from Sanford and Son, watch ass up.
Yeah.
Y'all ain't say it. Y'all remember Esther from Sanford and Son? You know, Esther, in that particular part that she played, she was a woman of God. She was actually saved, even though her mouth was kind of, you know. But she always got on Fred Sanford, didn't she?
Yeah.
She always told her, you better watch out, sucker. So, when you think about this, can I name some suckers?
Please do.
Riches.
Yeah.
Power. Friends. Your job. Addictions. Your family,
unrepentant sin, doubt or worry, anger or hatred, poor self-image, unforgiveness or bitterness, depression, negative thinking, TV, social media, hobbies, and too many things on your calendar. You remember when I talked about the diversion, that suckers are designed to cause diversion, an instance of turning something aside from its course. And these particular things that I name, and there's more suckers that we can name off. But anytime a sucker try to come into your life, you ought to remember this message and say, watch out, sucker. Because you don't need it to attach to your vine to keep you from getting the nutrients that you need from the word of God. We're not just coming to church just to hear the word, but we're not just hearers only, but we're doers of the word so that we can bear the fruit that we see. Because your fruit should be evident. These mentioned suckers are designed to suck the nutrients out of your tree. Suckers taste from what belongs to you, limiting what you need for a vital growing relationship with the vine. It siphons off or out from you what you need to keep flowing Godward. And that's what happens is, if you notice, if you do research on a vineyard, and what happens is that when they plant the seeds in the ground, and when they begin to grow, what they have to do is they have to go through a pruning process as they continue to grow. And you will never see a vine that when it's coming up out of the ground, that they keep the bottom parts of the plant from being in the ground. They always lift it up. Have you ever seen it where it's pruned up to where the bottom parts of the plant never touches the ground, never touches the earth? Because with the earth is what? Is representation of the flesh. And what happens is they keep the vine off the ground. So because what happens is a lot of times it looks like it's good on the top. But actually, when the suckers get deep inside the vine and deep inside the branches, what it does is it starts decaying from the bottom. And so what they need to see from the bottom to the top as they feed into the ground, into the nutrients of the tree, so they can keep it pruned and keep it off the ground. In other words, keep it off the flesh.
Wow.
So what God does is use a pruning knife. Let's look at John 15:3. Let's look at it.
And it don't even hurt.
Well, pruning do hurt. It does hurt sometimes. Because of the things that we go through. It says, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. And what God does is he uses a pruning knife. It's not like the loopers, the long-handed pruners, or the pole pruners like we use in the natural. But the word of God is his knife.
Yes, it is.
Uh-huh. It's sharp.
Yes, it is.
It's quick.
Yes, it is.
And it's powerful.
Yes.
But let's look at Hebrews 12:6-7. Let's look at it. See, because sometimes it do hurt, according to the scripture. He says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And scourgeth every son who he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? See, you got to understand that when you look at this, turn to John 13:10-11. And I want to give you a story. Even in the text in the chapter 15, he was talking to the disciples. And you have to understand that there was 12 disciples, right? But there was one disciple that never got on board. He was never really, truly a disciple.
Yes, sir.
I'm talking about Judas. And Judas was given the task or the job of carrying around the money. He was actually the treasurer.
Yeah.
And he carried, you know, Jesus wasn't broke. They always want to equate Christians as being broke and ain't got no money, begging. We understand that. And we can understand where they get that from. But Jesus had money. He wore some nice clothes, and they always want to depict him as this
this broke, this slow, he paid his taxes. He even told him, and when he speaks the word, he already, anything that he speaks to is going to obey. He said, man, I tell you what. He said, it's time for us to pay the tax. He said, well, we got to render what we owe Caesar. He said, go down now. He said, I've already talked to the bitch. Because he got power. Because he got power, he can speak. See, if you just looking at the Bible as some kind of make-believe thing, but this word is powerful. And he told the fish to have some money in his mouth. He said, now, go down to the fish and get this money out of his mouth and go pay the taxes.
Yes.
If he didn't have money and have access to money, what did he need Judas for? But he don't want no one to perish. He don't want nobody to go to hell. He want us all to experience eternity. And even all the time that Judas was walking with him, he was in his presence. He was around the word. He was around the Bible. But yet and still, he wasn't a true disciple. Because he had an agenda. Right? And his agenda, and Jesus knew this from the beginning, that he was going to betray him. And Jesus kept continually appealing his love toward him, getting him, wanting him to turn from the direction that he was going. Because he had a diversion. You remember what I talked about? See, Judas had some suckers on him. And his mind wasn't on nothing tedious or serious, because eternity was right at his disposal. It was right there in his hands. He was around those that were serious about the other 12, the other 11 disciples were serious about abiding in the vine. Yeah, they was rough on the edges. Yes, they need to prune at night. Yes, they need to be washed. And what happens was, even in this particular verse, in verse 10 and 11, it says, Jesus said unto him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash. In other words, when you get saved, you don't have to be saved again. See, and the reason why that they took the vines and kept them out there because of the dirt, he said, what happens is his feet but is clean every whit, and you are clean, but not all, for he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, you are not all clean. He was talking about Judas. And he demonstrated the washing.
Yes, sir.
When he washed the disciples' feet, right? He said, I tell you what, you don't need to be saved again. But you still need to be washed with this word. He said, because you're going to be exposed to the dirt and the sin of life, and you need a washing every now and then to keep you on track. He said, now what I'm going to do is I'm going to demonstrate not only servitude, but I'm going to demonstrate the washing of the word. And so what he did was he set them down, and the word washed them. Because, y'all missed that. Because he is the word. And so he set them down, and the word began to wash them, right? Because where they was treading on flesh. They was treading on dirt. And as the vine, the Father gave him instructions that you need to wash them. See, because even from chapter 13 all the way to 17 and all the way through that chapter, he was getting ready to leave. And he made an appealing love. Even if you go into chapter 14, he was appealing his love to Judas. Even though he knew he wasn't a true disciple. Judas went to church. Judas took care of the money. Judas was involved in the ministry. Judas, but yet and still, he was cast out. Once a person is forgiven by God, he is clean and does not need the bathing of forgiveness again. All that is necessary is to clean the dust and the dirt of daily sin from his feet. You have to understand, people of God, that we can go about our walk with God and we can think that we're all right. But in order for us to grow spiritually, we have to be pruned. And sometimes, even in our pruning process, we go through afflictions. We go through sickness. We go through loss of things. We lose our car. We lose our homes. We lose all kinds. We lose relationships. We lose our, and that's part of a pruning process that we go through. We go through slander. We go through persecution. But it's all for us to continue to grow and to build in the spiritual walk that we have with God. He constantly pruning us. Sometimes the branches try to grow too long and attach itself to other things. And what he comes in with the pruning knife. And he begins to cut away those dead things. He begins to come in and cut away those things that you're trying to extend to. And we get caught up in relationships, and it diverts us. And it keeps our focus on our walk in God. And God's saying, you got some dirt on your feet. Come here. Let me wash you with the word. We don't come to church just to become the church. But we come to be washed with the word and be reminded of the course that we're on. See, we was dead in our trespasses and sin.
Yes,
and even when he saw us afar off, he still loved us.
Yes,
and even in his appealing love to Judas, he failed to turn and to come up to God, which was with his arms wide open, to welcome him in. He don't want any of us to go to hell.
Right.
Hell was not prepared for you and I.
Right.
Hell was prepared for the devil and the third of the angels that decided that they're going to roll with the devil. And they've been on earth ever since, trying to divert your attention with material things. They're trying to divert your attention with the friends that you hang around. They're trying to divert your attention with your attitude toward people. They're trying to divert your attention with racism. They're trying to divert your attention with all these other things to keep you off course to making it to eternity. And he said, I want to prune you, son. You need some of this stuff cut off from you.
Jesus.
But I urge you today, people of God, that when one of them suckers try to attach to your vine, you ought to say it as loud as you possibly can. Watch out, sucker. Because you're not getting ready to attach to my vine. You're not going to cause me to ride out. I wish I had a picture of how when tree suckers, when they attach to vines, how even in the bark they leave big holes in. They suck out all the nutrients, which is the word of God, which is the anointing of God. It sucks it all out and make you dry all up. And the leaves start withering away. Read the scripture, what it says in the beginning. Every branch in me that beareth no fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. The pruning and the purging is for your good, it's for your growth, it's for you to bring forth fruit. He said, now you are clean, the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me. That's the key factor, people of God. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. You can walk around here all the time, all you want, thinking you got it together, like the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the scribe. And you can walk around thinking you got it all together. He said, but you can't bear no fruit of yourself. You have to be connected. That's why we got engrafted in, because we wasn't connected to something that's going to give us spiritual growth. He said, so what I'm going to do, since these hard-headed people don't want to follow after my word that's already been written, the word that I have spoken, the word that I washed you with, the word that I put you to be on the course to make it to eternity, I'm going to get some rotten folk. Some folks that's been cast out. Some folks that don't even. The drug dealer. I'm going to go get the drug dealer. I'm going to go get the prostitute. I'm going to go get the convict. I'm going to go get whoever it is. And I'm going to rearrange the roots that's been growing in their life all this time. And they're going to come into a clear understanding because of my word. And they're not going to allow other suckers to attach to the vine to continue them on that road of destruction. I heard it. I heard it. He said that my sheep hear my voice and the voice of a stranger, and when I follow, I heard y'all talking about it, I hear it. And what happens is, the shepherds used to gather together, and wherever, you can call it a tavern, or wherever they went to go drink their whiskey, or whatever they was doing. I don't know what they was doing when they gathered. And they was assigned to a certain amount of sheep. Some had more sheep than others. But they didn't worry about trying to rent no pen or nothing like that. They just let them graze out in the field. But when the shepherd came out, all he had to do was open up his mouth and say a word. And when he said the word, it don't matter how many they was mixed up with. I don't care if it was some goats up in there. When they heard the shepherd's voice, they came to the shepherd because they knew his voice. And there was so many shepherds out there, they was calling all at the same time. And they was telling the sheep to come. And the sheep went to the shepherd that they were assigned to. Because it was a distinctive word. It was a word that separates us from the world.
Yes.
Because we have been sanctified. See, what the word does is it washes us. And it gets us prepared for the rerooting system. And now he said, all right, I done wash you with the word. Now I'm going to grow you some new roots. And now that I'm growing you some new roots, all you got to do is stay connected to me. The branches, I want you to stay connected to the vine, because this is the source. And through the source, this is where the nutrients, the spiritual nutrients are coming through, so that you can bear some fruit, so you can bear some love. See, people ought to be able to come and pick up on you, people of God, because your fruit should be evident. Your love should be evident. Some people that's going through some things that they don't even know the way, but they'll see you in the midst of a crowd and see love hanging out of your branches. And they'll come in, don't nobody care about me. I'm the black sheep of the family. And it seems like ain't nothing going right. And all they need is love. And they walking by you with your rude self. And you talking bad to folk. And you not representing, but you think you got it all together. Because you go to church. Because you'll give a little bit every now and then. Because you'll participate when we call and have some activities. And you think you got it all together. And somebody walk by you, getting ready to go jump off a bridge, getting ready to hang themselves, and they walk by you, and you're supposed to be representing the kingdom, and they can't even pick no love off of you.
You know you're preaching today.
Real. My God, real.
Yes, Jesus.
Because you got all these suckers on you. Suckers everywhere.
Come on, Pastor.
They call them tree suckers. And they suck everything out of you, Jay. But you think you got it all together. Like in Luke chapter 8 and verse 18. They thought they had it together. Was trying to find, catch Jesus in the fall. Even caught the woman in adultery in the very act of it. And all he did was start, got down in the dirt. And start writing the word. He must have been writing the word. Because the Bible says that he said that the one that's without fault, why don't you cast the first stone? Because it was a whole group of them, right? He said, why don't you cast the first stone since you got everything together? Since you ain't did no wrong. Since you got it all together. And since you trying to verify who I am. He said, but I tell you what, why don't you cast the first stone? And the Bible says that they went to leave him one by one. I think it was from the eldest to the youngest. And they started falling out because they knew the very thing that they was accusing somebody of. They was doing the same thing. They had so many suckers on them. So, our fruit should be evident. We should be able to see it. I'm a Christian. But why do you mean? I'm a Christian. But why come I can't forgive? I'm a Christian. You fill in the gaps. But why?
Yeah, yeah.
See, you got so many of the suckers on you that it's diverting your attention to the wrong thing when you should be diverting your attention to the things of God. I'm not saying that we so spiritual that we know earthly good. I like football. You can still dance. You can still joke around. You can still do all of that. I don't know what people get that from. Oh, it ain't no fun being Christian. The devil is a lie. It is fun. That's the best fun you'll ever have. I done been on one side and I came on the other side. He gave me some new roots. Change my life around. Change your life around.
Good to be free.
Do you remember?
Yes.
Just think about what he has done for you.
Yes.
And so when you think about it, he says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can you, except you abide in me. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. So people do it all out of themselves. And they have all these suckers that's attached to them. The little branches that show up on the vine that take away the nutrients designed for the fruit to expand to its fullest potential. In conclusion, Jay, and you can put on some music. The word is often the knife with which the great husband prunes the vine. And brothers and sisters, we were more willing to feel the edge of the word, to let it cut away something that may be very dear to us. We should not need so much pruning by affliction. It is because that first knife does not always produce the desired result that another sharp tool is used by which we are effectually pruned. The pruning process helps us bear more fruit. If there is no fruit in your life, if there is no genuine connection to Jesus Christ, you are in danger of being removed and cast into the fire of hell. If there is fruit in your life, you can rejoice that affliction is making the pruning knife more effective, and that the vine dresser's ultimate goal is that you bear much fruit. And that was from Charles Spurgeon. He been gone 100 years or so ago, talking about the pruning knife. And that blessed me just with that little point right there when I was researching and studying and saying and talking about the tree suckers. And I said, my God, these things that attach to us to cause diversion, and we'll continue on like everything is okay.
Yeah.
And we go through the afflictions. And sometimes the afflictions that we go through are self-imposed. But through our afflictions, God will allow it. And then he'll come in and he'll bring that pruning knife. That word of God, when you come to church and you'll hear a word like today, and you need to be cognizant and mindful of the suckers that are trying to attach to your life. You might have some on you right now. But because of the word, you can be washed of the dirt and the sin that we tread on a daily basis. And we think we got it all right. And we'll come up in here, we'll give, and we come here and we'll circle around this edifice. And we know that we got unforgiveness in our heart. And God said, I can't bless that offering, but you think you're okay. Because you won't let it go. And that sucker, he just sucking on you and sucking all the God pouring in and he's sucking it out. And you cannot be affected because of the sucker. You ought to recognize the suckers in your life. And anytime when I'm trying to attach to you, you know it's time to study. But that TV keep pulling, you ought to say, watch that sucker. When that social media, you trying to get on Instagram and Twitter and all these other TikTok and all that, you ought to say, watch that sucker. Snapchat. And your mind is, boy, it's just, it got branches going everywhere. Leaves withering away. He said, but you saying, oh, I go to church. I pray 1 minute. I believe there is a God. But the key fact is to abide in Him. Said, man, I'm going to make sure you have all the nutrients you need to be successful in this walk with me. He said, I'm going to bring that pruning knife because it's necessary for your spiritual growth. And even in the affliction that I allow to take place, look at Job. He went through much affliction, didn't he? But he stayed connected to the
mind. And even the things that he lost, God gave him a double up. See, we think God is not still on the throne. We think God is moving too slow. We think God can't open up doors. We think God can't deliver us from these addictions that we have. We think God, but God is still God. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And if he did it 2,000 years ago and beyond, he'll do it right now. But all he's asking for us to do is abide in the true vine. Because you can't produce fruit in an evil mouth. He gave us grapes and thorns, grapes and thistles. He was giving you the contract. He was telling you the difference between the two. Let us stand all over the building. When that thought come in your mind, you ought to say, watch answer. When you get ready to say it about somebody, you ought to say, watch answer. When that spirit is pulling you to go do something wrong, you ought to say, watch answer. Because I know you're trying to attach to this vine. And you're trying to get me off the course that's already been laid for. Jesus said, I'm going to take something that's right. Since y'all don't want to do it, I put y'all out front. He said, but since y'all don't want to do it, he said, I'm going to bring in some folks that y'all can cast it out that's right, that didn't even try to serve me. But I'm going to plant some roots in them. And that's why he said, Paul to him. He said, Paul, you thought you had it all together. Y'all look at Paul. Paul thought he had it all together. He was doing what he was supposed to do. But he got connected to the true mind. And when he got connected to the true mind, Jay, he got a new vision and a new perspective. And even the things that he had done in the past, God said, you still, I'm going to have to prune you in that. And he suffered many afflictions. Man, how many times did Paul go to the penitentiary? Oh, look at y'all. How many times did Paul go to the penitentiary? He found himself in a dungeon all the time. But he went through the pruning process. And he did not let it affect his course that he was on. And even through his pruning process, he still continued to develop spiritually that he may give it. And he sat down even in the penitentiary and he started writing the books that's left now that we're reading today. And he started helping other brothers. He started helping Timothy. He started helping all the other brothers. And even when brothers went against him, he was talking about the blacks. Can y'all read your Bible?
Yes, sir.
He was talking about how they went against him and stuff like that. Going through his afflictions. Because look what he did. Dragging people to the Sanhedrin court. Going to get access and letters from the kings to go and bring people. Because he thought he was okay. He thought he was doing what he was doing. He's so educated. He knew everything. And then he realized, after he got some new roots, he realized, he said, man, I'm a chief sinner from the tribe of Benjamin. He said, man, now I'm hooked up to the right source. And boy, I'm sold out. And whenever a sucker comes and try to attach himself, I'm going to say, you better watch out, son. And he did that until he went to the guillotine and got his head chopped off. Every disciple that walked with Jesus is in hell. Don't get that twisted. But Judas did not accept the appealing love. What do I mean by appealing love? Jesus loved on him all the way through.
Yes, sir.
30 pieces of silver. And he left out this world in the same condition that he was. Will there be one for prayer? And if not, we'll pray collectively. I hope this word bless your spirit, and that we got a full understanding of the things that try to attach to your mind, that try to suck out the spiritual nutrients that are needed.